We're miserable. Christ didn't raise. We don't have eternal life. It doesn't, nothing matters. We're miserable. Then he says in verse number 20, but now, is Christ risen from the dead? Christ is risen from the dead. He's reminding them of this gospel truth again, that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. He's reminding them of this. Christ is risen from the dead. There is hope. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so he's reminding them of this truth. Christ was raised from the dead. And even as we have borne the image of Adam and die, even so in Christ, we shall all be made alive. And so we rejoice in that. We will all be made alive. We rejoice in that which the Lord has done for us, that we will all be made alive. The Apostle Peter in his epistle writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have a lively hope because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And we give God thanks and we bless his name because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And we have this lively hope, the hope that goes beyond this life. And we are not miserable, but we rejoice in this lively hope that we have because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead by the power of God. We rejoice in this, and we marvel at this. When we think that when Christ was here upon this earth and the miracles he did and the people marveled, such as the man that was sick of the palsy and he was let down by four men through the roof, and when Jesus said, take up thy bed and walk, that the man took up his bed and walked. And the Bible records that they all marveled. They all marveled. It was a wonderful thing. They'd never seen such a thing. But Christ has something greater for us through the resurrection of the dead. And we are to marvel at this, that there is a resurrection of the dead, and that we shall take on an eternal nature, and we shall live forever. And in this, we ought to marvel greater. For that man that was sick of the palsy and took up his bed and walked, and they all marveled, in the end, he still died. In this end, he still couldn't walk again. And he had something worse than palsy, and that is death of the physical nature. Last Sunday, we read about the man that was over 40 years old, and Peter, through the power of God, raised him, this lame man, that he would walk again. And as this man is walking and leaping, the people marveled, the scriptures declare. They marveled that this man was walking and leaping. Yet a greater thing that Christ has done that we should marvel at is that there is a resurrection of the dead. And we rejoice in his power. We rejoice in these great things that he has done for us. Again, the man that the lame man that was over 40 years old, he was leaping and walking, but you know, he still died physically. But there is a hope that goes far beyond the grave. And that man that was leaping and walking later in life was now doing far greater things in his incorruptible state, as he took on immortality in the Lord. So the Apostle Paul now is addressing the Corinthians again. He's saying, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? So as they were incredulous of that that there is a resurrection of the dead, they were asking, well, then how are they raised up, and with what body do they come? And the Apostle Paul explains this, and he's saying, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive, except it die. So a seed has to die first before it can be made alive. And he's saying, and that which you're sowing is not that which shall be. We don't bury a tomato plant, we bury a tomato seed. And that seed takes on then the form of a plant as it comes to life. And that's a point he's making here where he says, and that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. And then it says, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. This is the Lord's doing. Again, and it's marvelous in our eyes. We marvel at the resurrection. And as the Lord has given unto us each a unique cellular structure that is unique to us, each and every one, we are all different. No two of us are exactly alike. We have all been given a body that has been that the Lord that the Lord was pleased with, as He determined. And the Bible here is also saying that in the next life, our bodies will be given unto us also as it pleases the Lord. We didn't have any say in what we would look like. That was the Lord's. And in the life to come, we will be given a body as it has pleased Him. And we give Him glory. And we give Him honor for that. The Apostle John in his epistle writes, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The Apostle Paul is Apostle John here is addressing this, that we will see Christ as He is. We will take on a nature as He has when He appears, and we don't know what that will be yet. In Philippians, the Apostle Paul also writes to them in this regard, that the Lord Jesus Christ shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Well, it's a profound statement, and we ought to all marvel at that. More than if one were to be healed in our very midst of one who was very sick to one who is very healthy. We ought to marvel at what the Lord has done for us and what He will continue to do for us, and this lively hope that we have in the power of the resurrection given by Jesus Christ. And He talks about this earthly life. He's saying, when we look out and see God's creation and we see all flesh, there is one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of birds, and another of fish. They're all so unique to each other. Very unique to each other. The Lord has created it all. And we marvel at that which He created. We declare it to be beautiful. Beautiful. Tropical fish, many colors. Just absolutely beautiful. Birds. Beautiful. Beautiful voices that God has given unto them, how they chirp and how they call out, and their ability to fly. Beautiful things that God has done. Yet in the life to come, it will be yet more beautiful. The scriptures declare, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. We ought to marvel at this. And to think of this lively hope that we have in Christ, in the resurrection of the dead, ought to carry us through the difficulties that we face in this life. There is no valley, there is no difficulty in this life where our lively hope that we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and of our bodies, that hope cannot overcome. He's saying the first man of the earth is of the earth, earthy. We've all taken on the earthly experience. We all know what our bodies are like. We all know what it's like to live in this having this fleshly experience, this earthy experience. We've all been born into that. But he's saying that the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that also are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. We have this earthly experience. But one glorious day, we will have a spiritual nature and a spiritual experience, where we will inhabit bodies that the Lord has given that are eternal. Moses and Elijah are two who had an earthy experience. They knew what it was like to live in this flesh. But yet they died, and they took on a heavenly body. And so then when they appeared unto Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration, Luke's gospel states that they appeared, Moses and Elijah, in glory. They appeared in glory. They appeared in their new bodies that they have, that which are eternal. And it was so great that the Apostle Peter was all at a loss for words. Do we sometimes get caught up in the drudgery of this life, our aches and our pains and our desires, our wishes, our wants, and not have this lively hope within us that some glorious day after this very, very, very short life is over, we will have an eternity with God forever in a state that's incorruptible, in a state that is immortal. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. This shall come to pass. This is according to the scriptures, that we have borne this image of the earthy. We shall. This is a promise of God. We shall bear the image of the heavenly. There is a resurrection. Christ did die for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose the third day. And then he says, but this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We will not inherit the kingdom of God in this state. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Not everyone will actually have a physical death when the Lord comes. They will not experience a physical death. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We will all be changed. Those that have fallen asleep in the Lord will rise with their new bodies, and those of us that would be alive, those that would be alive when the Lord returns, shall be changed. And it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. Think of this. There is coming a time when the trumpet shall sound. We will all hear it. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, not of decay, not of decomposition, but they'll be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed. And so we rejoice in this. And the Apostle Paul has written to the Thessalonians that we shouldn't be as others who sorrow, who have no hope, but we should rejoice. And when the trumpet shall sound, we will all be changed, and we will be caught up in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. And so we rejoice in this. We marvel at this, that we shall all be changed. We shall all put on immortality. We shall all put on incorruption. We will no longer experience aches and pains and cancer and all these other things that plague our bodies. We won't experience those. And so we rejoice in this. And we give God thanks. And we praise his name. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. That has to happen. It will happen. This is the promise of God. This is according to the scriptures. And we can base all our faith on this truth. And then he says, death is going to be swallowed up in victory. Death is going to be swallowed up in victory. He says here also that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. There will be no more death. All will be raised. All will be raised. We read in John's gospel. Those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, and those that have done good unto the resurrection of eternal life. But all will be raised. All will be raised. (Clears throat) And he says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have this victory through Jesus Christ. We rejoice in this victory that we have in him. We have a strong faith on this truth that Christ has won the victory. Christ defeated death. We no longer have to fear death. But we will be given in an immortal life. We will inherit incorruption. And we rejoice in that. The Apostle Paul wrote again to the Philippians and told them that there are some things that they should meditate on. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, worthy of praise. If there's anything of these things, think on these things. Put your mind on them. Put your mind on them. And these valleys and these tribulations and these difficulties of life will diminish in their power. And our minds are to be on these things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. And so let's take a couple as we think of this resurrection of the dead. It's true. It's true. Think upon those things which are true. That is true. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed, and we will put on incorruption. We will put on immortality, and we will forever be with the Lord. That is true. And this is what our minds are to be thinking on. This is what we are to know and understand and be fully persuaded of. Because it's true, and it's according to the Scriptures. And then he also says, and to think upon those things which are lovely. How beautiful the thoughts that we have when we consider that which is heavenly and that which is eternal. How beautiful are those thoughts? How lovely are those thoughts? We read in Revelation that there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor any pain. All those things are done away with. All these things that we experience in this flesh, they're all done away with. That's a lovely thought. It's a lovely thought to think that we will be forever in the presence of the Lord. It's a lovely thought to think that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to share his glory with us. That's his desire. He wants to share his glory with us. He wants us to be with him in all eternity. Those are lovely thoughts. Lovely thoughts to think that we will not suffer anything in this life anymore of sorrow. This is what the Lord wants us to think on. We are to marvel in this. Marvel in this and more than anything else that this life, what can happen in this life. Marvel in this. We will live forever in a beautiful, incorruptible, immortal state. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.